This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-anbiya wal mursaleen Nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathiran amma ba'd. Inshallah ta'ala, in this sit we are going to be speaking about the makruhat and also the mustahabbat, the acts that is makruh, disliked for one to engage in while fasting, and also the acts that are mustahab, that which is a sunnah, a recommended act for a person to do. And also inshallah ta'ala we're going to be slightly touching on that which is haram for one to engage in while fasting. First and foremost, I'll read out the lines of poetry inshallah ta'ala, then I will break each line of poetry down so we can all comprehend it. The poet rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him, حفظه الله ورحمه يكره للصائم جمع الريق مع بلع وذوق للطعام أو يضع علكا بفيه ماضغا والقبلة ونحوها لمن تثور شهوة وتحرم الغيبة والبهتان وكل ما يعصى به الرحمن وسن تعجيل لفطر برطب فتمر فالماء وقول المستحب تأخيره السحور من يشتم يقول إني لصائم فهذا قد نقل وأكثر الأذكار والقراءة وكل خير واحذر الدناءة. First thing that the poet حفظه الله تعالى ورحمه he mentions is يكره للصائم, that which is disliked for a صائم. يكره للصائم جمع الريق مع بلع. The first point that he mentions is جمع الريق مع بلع, to gather the saliva in your mouth or your spit in your mouth and then swallowing it down your throat. If one, he gathers the saliva, the spit in his mouth and then swallows it, this is from the acts that are what? Makruh. In the madhab of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala. طيب. But if this individual now, he pushes the spit that was in his mouth all the way in between his lips, or he takes it out and then puts it back into his mouth again, in the madhab of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, this is haram. This is haram. But if he swallows it, he has now invalidated his fast. I'll repeat again. To gather the spit in your mouth and swallow it, this is an act that is makruh. But if it now comes up to what? His lips. Or he brings it out and puts it back into his mouth again, this is an act that is haram. But if he now swallows it, this will invalidate his fast after he's brought it in between his lips, or he took it out of his mouth, then put it back in and swallowed it. Do you guys get the difference? When it's going to be makruh and when it's going to be an act that invalidates his fast. Wadih? طيب, what about mucus? أو ابتلع نخامة. In the madhab of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, if one, he brings out the mucus, whether this originates now from his chest or his throat, and he comes into his mouth and then swallows it back up again or back down again, huh? This is now going to invalidate his fast. So you got two cases. Him pushing out the mucus or the phlegm, whatever you want to call it, he pushes it up into his mouth. The second case is, he actually takes it out and he puts it in between what? Maybe some tissue. If he now puts it back in his mouth and then swallows it up, this has now invalidated his fast. واضح?
For example, you're not pushing out on purpose, it's just the mucus just
comes. You need to spit it out. You need to spit it out. That individual now, he's brought it into his mouth and then swallowed it up again. Huh? That is not going to invalidate his fast. Walaikum salam. واضح? وَذَوْقٌ لِلطَّعَامِ أَوْ يَضَعْ. The second issue that he mentioned that is from the makruhat is to taste food. It is to taste food. إِذَا كَانَ بِلَا حَاجَةٍ. If he tastes when there is no need for him to taste. it is going to be makruh. So we understand from that, if he tastes food because of there being a need for him to do so, then that is not makruh. Okay? And if that individual now, after tasting it, okay, he begins to feel that taste in his throat, this has now invalidated his fast. I'll give you guys a couple of examples. An individual who is cooking now for his household, goes to the shop, goes to the local Tesco. They sell cheese, right? That sometimes can be sliced up for you. Huh? Or they have different types of food where they're selling it in the butcher section. Okay? So he goes to the cheese section and he wants to check the level of salt in that cheese he wants to buy. Is there a need for him now to taste that cheese? He's the one that's cooking for the household. And he wants to check how much salt or the level of salt in that which he wants to buy. There is a need for him. So now he tastes some. Okay, he tastes it. Is that okay for him to do so? The answer is yes. And it's not makruh. It is only makruh if there is no need for him to do so. Then goes out and tastes it. And that's when it becomes disliked. Or a woman now that is in the kitchen. Mother or wife. She's cooking some soup and she wants to taste the level of salt that is found in the soup that she's making. Or maybe the tea that she's cooking. She wants to, you know the level of sugar that is in there. Wadih? If there is a need, then this is not makruh. If there is no need, like an individual who walks into the shop or he walks into the kitchen and decides to taste it, is there a need for him to do so? The little kid who's running around in the house? There is no need. Wadih? In that case, my brothers and my sisters, it becomes makruh fi haqqihi. In his case, it is makruh. But that individual now, who tastes it, whether there's a need or not, and then tastes whatever he put in his mouth, and he begins to feel that in his throat, huh? That is now going to invalidate his fast. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and you can find this in the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba. He said, there is no harm for one to taste the al-qidr. And al-qidr is al-ta'am al-matbukh, the food that has been cooked. For him to taste in order to see if that, if there's something that is needed to add or to take away, whatever, huh? In that case, it is perfectly fine, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions. In another mawdi', Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asked, he said, لَا بَأْسَ أَنْ يَذُوخَ الْخَلْ مَا لَمْ يَدْخُلْ فِي حَلْقِهِ. There's no problem in him tasting vinegar, khal, as long as it doesn't reach his throat, or he doesn't taste in his throat. So based on this, they said, okay, this is where the discussion broke up based on some of these narrations of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. طيب. The next point that he mentions is مضغو علك لا يتحلل يكره للصائم جمع الريق مع بلع وذوق للطعام أو يضع علكا بفيه ماضغا والقبلة. طيب. Let's now speak about the issue of علك. This is the other act that the Shaykh now here is mentioning to be from the makruhat, the issues that are disliked. What is an ilk? Ilk is a solid substance that is chewed. A solid substance that is chewed. So you have a solid substance that one may chew that dissolves in his mouth. And then you have a type that doesn't dissolve in his mouth. If this solid substance now does not dissolve in his mouth, then this is what? Makruh. I'll explain further inshallah ta'ala and break it down. For example, a piece of chewing gum. This is a solid substance, right? Huh? Yeah. You with me, guys? Yeah. A piece of chewing gum. We have different types of chewing gum. We have a type of chewing gum that has a taste, right? And we have a type of tuban or a chewing gum that doesn't have any taste with it. Are you with me, my brothers, my sisters? Yeah. Huh? Taib. The madhab states, if the solid substance that one is chewing does not dissolve in his mouth, then it is fine. It is what? It is makruh. But if this is now a solid substance that dissolves in his mouth, this now becomes haram for him to chew. This now becomes haram for him to chew. Are you with me, guys? Becomes haram. And also, whether this is something now that dissolves or not, if it now reaches his what? His halq, his throat, then this is now going to invalidate his fast. You with me, guys? طيب. There's an issue that the mu'asirin, the contemporary scholars, they discussed, and that is the toothpaste. And obviously you have the ilk, that was something they used to chew in the previous times, right? This was something that they discussed. And I'm sure they didn't have chewing, they didn't have toothpaste. Toothpaste is a contemporary issue. Alayhi kadhalik? Did they have toothpaste in the past? The answer is no. طيب. They said the issue of toothpaste is similar to the ilk alladhi yatahallal. It is similar to that solid substance that one might chew that dissolves in his mouth. طيب. So qiyasan ala hadha. So using this as analogy, in the madhhab of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, using toothpaste while fasting would become haram. And if he was to now taste that in his halq, this would what? Invalidate his fast. So this is why they say it is better that one doesn't use toothpaste until after he breaks his fast. And this is safer for him. This is safer for him and his fast. واضح. Why? Because this toothpaste that a person uses has nufudun qawi, has a very strong effect. Are you with me, my brothers and my sisters? Even though some of the other scholars they mention otherwise, but here can you see how the analogy is made with this contemporary issue and something that was discussed previously in the past in the books of fiqh. واضح. طيب. The next issue that is discussed is from the makruhat al-qubla liman tathuru shahwatu. Tamam? The next issue that is discussed is kissing the wife. They mentioned that kissing the wife is from the makruhat. It's from the issues that are disliked. Okay? Lakin tahrumu in dhanna inzalan. As-sahib Akhs al-Mukhtasarat Ibn Balban rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, if this individual now thinks that he is going to ejaculate based on him kissing his wife or fondling with his wife or anything similar to that, then that is haram. If he thinks that he's going to ejaculate, then fi haqqihi, it is haram. In his case, it's going to be haram. Let me just, inshallah ta'ala, explain what haram technically it means. We already explained makruh, right? And then you have also the scholars of usul al-fiqh, they define this hukum taklifi, which is at-tahrim. What is the definition for tahrim? Huwa ma talabahu al-shari'u tarkahu. Tamam? Huwa ma talabahu al-shari'u tarkahu talaban جازمة يثاب تاركه امتثالا ويعاقب فاعله استحقاقا. Is that which the legislator has imposed upon the individual who is religiously obliged to leave off. Are you with me, guys? Is that which the legislator has imposed upon the one who is religiously obliged to leave off. What was the makruh? Makruh, when it is defined, they say, huwa ma talabahu shari'u tarkahu ghayra jazimin. Yuthabu fa'iluhu, yuthabu tarikuhu, wa la yu'aqabu fa'iluhu. Wadih, guys? Shall I repeat again? Okay, I'll first repeat al-makruh. Al-makruh, طيب, when something is makruh in our sharia, The scholars of Usul al-Fiqh, they define it to be هُوَ مَا طَلَبَهُ الشَّارِعُ تَرْكَهُ طَلَبًا غَيْرَ جَازِمٍ, is that which the legislator has requested from the one who's religiously obliged to leave off. But he doesn't impose it upon him. This is a key word here. He doesn't impose it upon him. يُثَابُ تَارِكُهُ امْتِثَالًا. The one who leaves it off, he gets rewarded for it. If he does this, or if he leaves it off for the purpose of imitating the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا يُعَاقَبُ فَاعِلُهُ. And the one who does it, he doesn't get punished for it. The one who does it, he doesn't get punished for it. As for التحريم, something being haram, هو ما طلبه الشارع تركه طلبا جازما, is that which the legislator has imposed upon the person who's religiously obliged to leave off. يثاب تاركه امتثالا. The one who leaves it off, out of him fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wanting to imitate that which the Sharia has requested from him to leave off, gets rewarded for it. And the one who does that act, he deserves to be punished. He deserves to be punished, naam.
When you say haram, does it then invalidate the fast, or you can still do haram while fasting?
You can do haram, but it doesn't invalidate. This is why more than once, when I mentioned that methylene, chewing that solid substance that dissolves in your mouth, I mentioned that it's haram, right? Mm-hmm. But then I also mentioned it invalidates only if it reaches your halq. Wadih, guys? طيب. So now the issue about the qubla. One kissing his wife. القبلة لمن تثور شهوته. The one who shahwa is going to become aroused. It's going to increase. في حقه, they say that it is makruh. In his case, they say it is makruh. But they say it is haram in ظن إنزالا. If this individual, basically maybe because of previous interactions with the opposite gender, him kissing the opposite gender is now going to cause him now what? To release straight away. It's a weak guy. واضح? If he thinks that he's going to come out, then it is haram in his case. And if it now comes out, then that's when it becomes invalidated. واضح? So it's totally dependent on his fast becoming invalidated if it comes out. طيب. Let's now establish, did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kiss his wife? You have a number of a hadith. You have the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that was narrated by Ibn Khuzaymah. She said, أَهْوَى إِلَيْهِ نَبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِيُقَبِّلَنِي. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم started coming towards me in order to kiss me. So then I said to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, إِنِّي صَائِمْ, I'm fasting. Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, إِنِّي صَائِمٌ أَيْضًا, I'm also fasting. فَقَبَّلَنِي. And then he ended up kissing me. You also have the other hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقبل وهو صائم ويباشر وهو صائم ولكنه أملككم لإربه. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم used to kiss while fasting. He also used to fondle while fasting. But ولكنه أملككم لإربه. He was somebody who was more in control of his shahwa than you guys. Speaking to the companions. So why did they say kissing is makruh? Because of a particular reasoning being present. You have another hadith. Hadith that was narrated by Imam Dawud rahimahullah ta'ala. A man came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. جاء رجل النبي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فسأله عن المباشرة للصائم. And he asked him about the one who is fasting and he fondles with his wife. فرخص له. He gave him the permission to go and fondle with his wife. ثم أتاه رجل آخر. And then another man came to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم فسأله عن المباشرة للصائم. And he asked him about fondling with his wife. So he asked the individual who's fasting. فَلَمْ يُرَخِّسْ لَهُ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not permit for him to kiss his wife. Why do we say that the Sharia now is contradicting with one another? Why is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam using double standards? He says whatever he wants here and then he says something else over there. The poet rahimahullah ta'ala, Hafid al-Hakimi, he teaches us how to do jam' with regards to this issue, how to reconcile. And I mentioned time and time again, when we have textual evidences clashing, or it seems from the apparent that it's contradicting with one another, what's the first step that we need to try and do? We have to try and what? Reconcile. Hafid al-Hakimi rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَمِنْهُمَا لِعِلَّةٍ قَدْ حَكَمَا ثُمَّ بِضِدِّهِ لِمَنْ قَدْ عَدِمَا كَقُبْلَةِ الصَّائِمِ عَنْهَا قَدْ نُهِي ذُو شَهْوَةٍ وَرُخِّسَتْ لِغَيْرِهِ. Because of a particular reasoning, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave a ruling. And because of that reasoning not being present, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave another ruling. And we learned this in Usul al-Fiqh. الْحُكْمُ يَدُورُ مَعِلَّتِي وُجُودًا وَعَدَمًا وَكُلُّ حُكْمٍ دَائِرٌ مَعِلَّتِهِ وَهِيَ الَّتِي قَدْ أَوْجَبَتْ لِشِرْعَتِهِ. Because of a reasoning being present, a hukm applies. That reasoning no longer is present, the hukm no longer applies. And this is exactly what the case was here. The narrator of the hadith, he mentions that the first man who came up to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an old man. The second individual who came up to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a young man. And because of that, what was the reasoning that was present? Why did he not allow the one who's young? Because he is somebody who he has shahwa. One thing might lead to another. Alaysa kadhalik? Before you know it, he's on top of her. And then we have the kafara that he has to pay. Freeing a slave, and he can't do that, what happens? He has to fast 2 months in a row. So you find that the sharia now is trying to what? To set the dharaya. It's trying to block out bigger issues from taking place and bigger harm reaching this individual. وَالدِّينُ مَبْنِينُ عَلَى الْمَصَالِحِ فِي جَلْبِهَا وَالدَّرْءِ لِلْقَبَائِحِ. And the sharia comes with that. Point of the matter is, Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed it here, but he didn't allow there. Why? Because of the reasoning of shahwa, being present in the case of the one who was young. Wadih, my brothers, my sisters? So in that case, it would be makruh for one who has shahwa. And it would be haram when? He thinks that he's going to now what? Release upon kissing the opposite gender. But will that invalidate his fast? Based on him just thinking. When will it become invalidated? When he does it and he releases. Totally dependent on him releasing. And also the type of qubla that is intended here can maybe categorize into three. Because not every type of qubla is what? Is being spoken about here. Every type of kissing. So you have the first case, al-qubla allati laysat fiha shahwa. The type of kissing that doesn't have any shahwa accompanied with it. For example, a man sometimes when he's leaving his home, he goes and kisses his wife upon leaving. Little peck on the cheek. And then leaves. Tamam? Oh, like the example of one kissing the forehead of his mother. This is not what is intended here. Or kissing his little daughter. That's the first one. The qubla, the type of kissing that is not accompanied with shahwa. And then you have the second type. القبلة التي تحرك الشهوة. The type of kissing that is now going to arouse him. And this is what the poet here is intending. واضح? And it doesn't just have to be what قبلة, one kissing. It could be him fondling with his wife. It could be him, you know, placing his knees in between or his thighs in between her thighs. Gets very, very touchy in there. And then the third case is القبلة التي تحرك الشهوة وَيَعْلَمُ الْإِنسَانُ أَوْ يَغْلِبُ عَلَىٰ ظَنِّهِ أَنْ يَخْرُجَ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ مِنْ مَنِيٍّ أَوْ مَذِي. A type of qubla.
ترى اغلبها انها عزاب يعني ما عندنا مزوجين فلو تموف على غير يعني موضوع يمكن افضل انفع لانه الاغلب ما كنا مزوجين.
طيب طيب بس المفروض يعرفوه خلاص ما بخيل لهذا
والبنات هناك حساسات. طيب طيب الاسبوع الماضي اشتكى علينا
كثير. خلاص ابشر
بس الكلاس بين انه تكلمنا
خلاص ابشر هذه اصلا اخر شيء يعني
لا لا تبين انه احنا جايين نتكلم هذا الموضوع.
طيب جزاك الله خير. Is the mic on by the way?
Yeah.
Can they hear the sisters? Okay. And then you have the third case, which we already mentioned. This individual thinks that is going to cause him to release, and this is something that is going to be haram, and it's totally dependent on him releasing. If he releases, this is going to now.
You want guys to let the sisters here?
Yeah, of course.
So we should turn this.
We thought he was on, Aslan. We thought he was on. طيب. طيب. Is that clear, guys? Inshallah ta'ala, we've understood the three different cases and scenarios with regards to this particular issue. طيب. The Malif rahimahullah ta'ala then goes on to say, وَتَحْرُمُ الْغِيبَةُ وَالْبُهْتَانُ وَكُلُّ مَا يُعْصَى بِهِ الرَّحْمَانُ. تمام؟ وَتَحْرُمُ الْغِيبَةُ. Things that are haram is al-ghiba, backbiting. Wal-buhtanu, and also slander. Wa-kullu ma yu'asabihi al-Rahmanu, and everything now that is going to cause disobedience to al-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful one. Tamam? What is al-ghiba? Hadith Abi Hurayra radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked them, atadruna mal-ghibatu? Do you guys know what ghiba is? They responded back and they said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger know best. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ. To say about your brother that which he dislikes in his absence. To say about your brother that which he dislikes in his absence. واضح? Even if you think it's true, Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, companion then said, أرأيت إن كان فيه ما أقول. What if I say that which is true about him? إن كان فيه ما تقول فقد اغتبته. If that which you are saying about him is right, then you have backbited him. وإن لم تكن فيه ما تقول فقد بهته. And if you say about him that which is not true, you have indeed slandered him. And that is what البهتان is. To spread maybe a slander about an individual. Or just generally speaking, it could be seen as something foul that a person says. And this is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, right? Another hadith. مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ وَالْجَهْلَ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ يَدَعْ طَعَامَ وَشَرَابَهُ. Whoever doesn't leave off قَوْلَ الزُّور, false speech, all types of idle speech, whether it is lying, whether it is namima, whether it is swearing, وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ, also acting upon it. Sometimes, you know, somebody spreads a lie about another individual and you're there as a witness. This is عَمَلْ بِهِ. You acting upon that idle speech that is being spread, or you engage in it. وَالْجَهْلَ, and also doing something ignorant. Issues of ignorance, again, are from the things that is haram that a person does when he is fasting. طيب, sometimes you find a common question that is asked, you know, somebody is backbiting in front of me, and I tell him, Akhi, you shouldn't be doing so and so. And then I get told, mind your own business. And they go as far as even using the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مِنْ حُسْنِ الْإِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. Part of one being a Muslim, good Muslim, is to leave off that which doesn't concern him. Hey, how do we reconcile now?
The hadith that you mentioned last week, you see
evil Jamil. Sakallah khair. Yes, you should be minding your own business when getting involved in other people's affairs that has absolutely no concern with yourself. But now the fact that an individual is backbiting, it's a must upon you to try and do something about it. And you shouldn't fear the blame of the blamers. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا يَمْنَعَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ هَيْبَةَ النَّاسِ أَنْ يَقُولَ فِي حَقٍ إِذَا رَآهُ أَوْ سَمِعُ شَهِدَهُ.
one shouldn't allow the haiba, the fear and the awe that he isn't of the people, to stop him or prevent him from speaking the truth. إِذَا رَآهُ أَوْ سَمِعَ أَوْ شَهِدَهُ. Whenever he sees it, he witnesses it or he hears it. Are you with me, my brothers and my sisters? You know Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, وَدِدْتُ أَنِّي لَمَسْمَعُهُ. I wish that I never heard this hadith. Why? Because now this has become a hujjah, a plea upon him. He has to act upon it. And that can be sometimes one of the most difficult things to do. Especially with the people that you really, really love and respect. Everybody's mind can sometimes what? Yes, who? Can totally forget. Forgets himself what he's saying, what he's doing. Are you with me, guys? So you have to tell that individual. That's what the Messenger said in another hadith. مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. Whoever sees an evil in him, change it with his hand. Can't change it with his hand? فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِلِسَانِهِ. Let him change it with his what? With his tongue. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ. And whoever doesn't have the ability, then change it with his heart. How do you change it with your heart? Can you really, really change something with your heart? If somebody is backbiting, or you're sitting in a sitting where people are backbiting one another, and you're just sitting there? Can this person really, really be seen as somebody who is disliking the haram that is taking place? Huh? You have to get up and leave. You can't stay somewhere where there's evil taking place and just hate it with your heart. These are two things that don't come together. You have to leave that place and go somewhere else if they're not listening. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزَأُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَعَهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ إِنَّكُمْ إِذَا مِثْلُهُمْ. If you find individuals who are falsely engaging in the verses and are also mocking it, do not sit with them until they change the conversation. And if you carry on sitting there, إِنَّكُمْ إِذَمْ مِثْلُهُمْ, you are going to be like them. Also in another ayah, Allah says in the Quran, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ. If you find individuals who are in false discussion with regards to the ayat, then leave them. واضح, my brothers? So, see somebody backbiting, you should try to advise that individual. Okay? But we know also that there's 6 types of backbiting that is permissible. And you can find it in the 2 lines of poetry. Even Imam Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala has a whole chapter in his Riyadh Salihin. First he speaks about Al-Ghiba, the haram one. And then he mentions Ma Babu Ma Yubahu Min Al-Ghiba, the chapter of that which is permissible with regards to backbiting. And you can find these 6 anwa' types in these 2 lines of poetry where he says, أَذَّمُّ لَيْسَ بِغِيبَةٍ فِي سِتَّةٍ مُتَضَلِّمٍ وَمُحَذِّرٍ وَمُعَرِّفٍ وَمُظْهِرِ فِسْخًا وَمُسْتَفْتٍ وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الْإِعَانَةَ فِي إِزَالَةِ مُنْكَرِ. 6 types that he mentions. First one is متضلم, somebody who has been oppressed. He goes to another individual to show what this individual has done. مُتَظَلِّمٍ وَمُحَذِّرٍ وَمُعَرِّفٍ. The second one is when an individual now is warning against someone else because of the evil that he is spreading to others. For example, now somebody comes online and he's spreading poison. Other people are being affected. In that case, is it allowed to warn against that individual? The answer is yes. Because this person, he's publicly doing haram. He's publicly doing what he shouldn't be doing, as opposed to Muhammad that you find with Fatima in the alleyway, who's maybe what, kissing her out and he's snogging with her and so on and so forth. Can I start warning against this individual publicly? The answer is no. Whatever is done publicly is dealt with publicly. Whatever is done privately, you are not allowed to go and speak about that person's private sins in the open. And that's where you apply the hadith when the Messenger said, Man satara Musliman, satarahu Allah. Whoever conceals the sins of a Muslim, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to conceal his sins. Do you understand the difference? Also, you have another hadith. One time a man entered upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? And then when he left, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Aisha, بِئْسَ أَخُوَ الْعَشِيرِ, what a bad member of his tribe he is. So Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah and other than him, they use this hadith to say the permissibility of backbiting and warning against the people of desires and those who cause people to doubt aspects of the religion. Are you with me, guys? And there's many, many other hadith as well that carry the same meaning. وَمُعَرِّفٍ, for example, now someone's done something and the only way that you can describe him is maybe mentioning something imperfect about him or a deficiency about him. For example, trying to explain something to somebody and you're saying, Akhi, don't you know that guy, he was there? Because I don't know what you're talking about. And something, there's a dire need for that person who's being spoken to be informed of exactly who that individual was that done X, Y, and Z. Maybe somebody came now, huh? He done something in the masjid. And then everybody needs to know about the situation. Go to the ISOC president, Nabil, huh? And then you have to basically tell him who that individual was. And Nabil doesn't know who this person is. So you say to him, that guy, ach, you know the big guy? Big guy who was sitting there. Or the guy who was limping, huh? Or the guy that was had only one eye. Oh yes, becomes clear now. Wadih? وَمُظْهِرِ فِسْخًا وَمُسْتَفْتٍ وَمَنْ, also somebody who openly does fisq. He openly does fisq. We're not talking about Muhammad and Fatima who are doing stuff privately. They're having a hot conversation online and then you end up finding what? That conversation. She maybe sent her pictures and he sent his pictures as well. You're not allowed to go about and speak about an individual publicly. But there's a type of individual who goes out, is drinking khamar publicly. Has no shyness whatsoever. He's doing it in open. In that case also, it is mentioned that Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in Riyad Salihin that it's permissible to backbite that individual. Then the other one, mustaftin woman, somebody who's seeking fatwa. Goes to the mufti, what do you say about kada wa kada so and so, who done kada wa kada? Sixth one is, وَمَنْ طَلَبَ لِعَانَةَ فِي إِزَالَةِ مُنْكَرِ, somebody who's trying to now change an evil. Like for example, I know Jubari has a friend. I know I can't go to his friend and advise him about something haram that he's doing. And I believe that Jubair is in a better position. So I tell him, please, Akhi, you know, I saw kada wa kada. I can't go. Why? Because we've burnt bridges. Are you with me, guys? I've burnt bridges with that person. I can't advise him. So you're in a better position. Why? Because you're cool with him. Go and advise the individual. He done X, Y, and Z. But also, my brothers and my sisters, sometimes people use this issue, huh, in order to spread and spread and spread that aib, that shortcoming that he has. Deep inside, he knows that he can do something about it. But he goes, Akhi, guess what? You know, wallahi, you know, I think you're an... Akhi, you know you can change it. Are you with me? You know you can change it. Why do you need to go and tell someone else? And he goes to another person, Akhi, look, I'm trying to change the evil. What do you think? And he goes to another one. You see my point? That's a problem. That's a problem.
What was number five?
Huh?
What was number five?
Seeking fatwa.